Retro by Lauren D. Esselman. For Peter Spivak, a good man to have in your corner. There is no present. There is only the immediate future and the recent past. George Carlin. Chapter 1. What do you do with an old madam when she's peddled her last pound of flesh? They never had any ambivalence about it in the old days. If she'd saved her money, they propped her up in a gondola bed, piled high with satin pillows, parked her opium pipe among the crystal atomizers and pots of face cream and scent, and when the time came, they carried her downstairs in a white coffin and buried her in a Protestant cemetery, Presbyterians and Methodists being notorious for their democracy. If her circumstances were straitened, the Sisters of Charity drifted to and fro past her bed in a ward smelling of quicklime and carbolic, put a damp cloth on her forehead when she moaned, and at the end gave the gravedigger's boy a coin to dump her in Potter's Field. That was in the old days. The new belonged to the self-employed, and whorehouse matrons had no more place than gondola beds or nuns in stiff linen. Why spring for a parlor and a bouncer when street-corner space is free? Beryl Garnett was the last of her kind, and her reward for outliving all her contemporaries was the Grenlock Assisted Living Village in Farmington, an eighth of a tank of gas north of the house she'd run on John R. in Detroit for nearly 40 years. The facility sprawled over 6 acres of greensward, with a retention pool, the Grenlock that had given the place its name, in front, where overfed ducks and geese paddled their feet and littered the surrounding walk with their waste. The building's facade had been made to resemble a Scottish hamlet, steep-roofed, half-timbered, and girded round with decorative ironwork for fat lairds to lean on and direct the monthly whipping of the serfs. The Dutch doors were plastered to solid brick. In order to get inside, I had to park in a half-empty visitor's lot and tug over.